Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I immediately want to go to the guy who was trying to steal steak. So I'm not going in order. I'm sorry, but this immediately caught my eye. As you can imagine, it would anybody's. So this Florida man stole four ribeye steaks and hid them under his shirt at a Walmart, according to deputies. Man just wanted some red meats. That's all. Angel Rivera, 66, was charged with petty theft of $100 or more after he on this Walmart ribeye theft. He hid them under his shirt and they got him on camera. He went and picked out four packs of ribeyes, placed them on the top part of his shopping cart, and then he went to a different aisle where I guess he thought cameras couldn't get him, and he hid them under his shirt, which he was covered by a jacket, and then he left without paying. Walmart asset protection officer confronted him. He gave the steaks back. They waited till deputies arrived. It was they were recovered but damaged. $102
for four steaks.
$102. Man, that's a lot. So he gets in trouble. So we also have this guy. He didn't want to share his passcode on his phone. He did not want to share his passcode, his password, his phone's like to unlock his phone with his girlfriend, and he jumped into the ocean. This dude doesn't sound trustworthy. Just got to say, he would rather literally jump to where the sharks and gators live. A Florida man, he did not want his girlfriend or his cops to access his phone, and he jumped into the ocean to avoid giving it up and tried to flee arrest after he was being grilled by police while out on a boat. There's body cam footage. It shows two female Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission officers questioning the guy. He identified himself as AJ, him and his girlfriend on a boat in the Keys. And he was arguing with the officers and his girlfriend over the phone. He got agitated and jumped into the ocean. And he goes, what if I just swim away? And then he led the cops on a 7-minute pursuit back to shore where they promptly arrested him. I don't know what they didn't actually say, like what they just said. His boat was breaching code and they didn't have any like documentation with him. And that's pretty much all because I really don't know why they were stopped or why. But to me, like not even letting your girl, oh, I'm just saying it sounds a little sketchy. What else we got? This one, Pompano Beach woman. Man, this woman had a bad day. She flipped off the camera, plowed a car into a school, and then she also hit a bunch of wheelchairs in a cop car. Deputies say she caused more than $20,000 worth of damage. She drove through the closed gates of a South Florida school where 12 children with special needs were, the Bright Horizons School. And she plowed through the glass door. She ran over a whole bunch of wheelchairs, and then she backed into a sheriff's patrol car and then did donuts in the parking lot before speeding down the school hallway. Oh my gosh, they totally arrested her. Tiffany Medeiros. Tiffany with an I. Two I's.
Hi, I'm George, an economics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The Declaration of Independence is more than a bold letter to a British king written by upstart colonists, although it very much is that. The Declaration explains the promise of America, that all men and women are born equal in their possession of natural rights, and that the proper exercise of these rights can lead to a full and deeply satisfying life. Just as the Declaration explains America's promise, the Constitution upholds that promise. Its purpose is to protect the rights of all of us, our natural rights. This establishes the possibility, not the guarantee, that we can have a good life. This is true freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
I love the way the guitar sounds in this song. I love the mix. It has that dark country vibe. It's like goth country. I love it so much. I heard the first opening notes of this and I was like, oh, Ooh, it's so good. Everything that he does is so good. John Rich, you guys know John Rich, founder of Redneck Riviera Whiskey, Old Glory Bank. This is his new song, Revelation. And I got to tell you, I was watching the video and I'm like, well, I'll be dang, we had the devil on the show yesterday. Nick Searcy plays the devil in this video. It's a brand new song by John Rich, and we're going to talk to him about this. First off, John joins us via Skype right now. My good friend, good to see you. Congrats on the song. I love this song. I love the mix. I love everything about it. I love the vocals. I mean, I love the guitar tone. It's so warm, and I could sit here and like go into old college music review mode right now, but it's such a good, this is a good song. All your stuff is good, but this is some goth country right here. I loved it. Congrats.
I appreciate it. Yeah, this is unlike any song I've ever written before. I doubt I'll ever write anything like this again.
If
it hits me again, trust me, I'll write more. This was a special situation, not only the way it sounds, but what it's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, that video, if people haven't seen that video yet,
it's powerful.
Go watch that. Yeah, I mean, you got
the devil and Michael facing off.
Yeah, it's spiritual warfare. You know, people talk about that kind of like it's science fiction or something. Like, yeah, it's good versus evil. Yeah, but it actually is.
I have to I have to interrupt you because I had this, I don't know if you can see it, Ephesians 6:12-13 tattooed on my arm as a reminder like over a decade ago, because that's really the reality in which we live in. And so when I was hearing the song, I could hear, you know, not just, you know, the book Revelation, but also the other parts of the Bible that were inspiring you or leading you to write the lyrics you wrote.
Yeah. You know, people have said, how'd you come up with those lyrics? I say, I didn't. The Apostle John came up with those lyrics, with those words. I just made them rhyme. That's really all I did. That second verse, it says brimstone upon their heads and millstones around their necks. Yeah. They'll feel the shaking when the trumpet sounds. You know, this song is talking about a lot. It's all been written how this thing ends at the final when the boss comes back. And when he comes back, they're done. I mean, it is unequivocal. They are finished. And so as we see them out here, you know, thrusting this evil into our faces every single day, like there's nothing going to ever happen to them, it's just not true. So I said about the song when I posted it just a few days ago, I said, I hope it brings courage to the saved, conviction to the lost, and absolute terror to the truly wicked out there in this world. And I think that's exactly what it's done.
Amen to that. Talking with our good friend John Rich, who this video, I have to ask you, where was this shot at? Where'd you film this video? At the churches? I mean, that looks like the Baptist church that's in my family's hometown in the Ozarks.
Yeah, it's about a 130-year-old little church out in the woods in Tennessee. I thought that was the perfect place to do it, because when you see the devil blast through his fiery portal and then you see Michael come blasting down in the woods and they start coming at each other and Michael pulls that sword and I'm standing in between them. I mean, what a scene.
It is.
I wanted to take this thing all the way over the top, Dana, because the bad side of things in the entertainment business, they have unlimited budgets. They can make these grandiose productions out of it. And even though you don't want to look at it, it's done so well that you find yourself watching it. And I thought, if we're going to combat that, we need to come with content that comes to that level. We need to hit them with everything we've got.
I am so glad you said that, because this has been my one. I always complain. I'm like, why is like Christian music or God rock treated as a second class industry to the secular sound or any of that messaging? Why does that not get the first fruits? And so I love the way you did. I mean, it's like epic. I mean, it looks like a movie. Really well done.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe it'll be a movie someday. Can you imagine a movie about the Book of Revelation?
As long as you do the whole score. Do the entire score.
Sure.
Not letting you off the hook on that one. No, because this is such a good track. I want to come back to it, but I got to ask you too. I mean, obviously the timing of this, you know, the song, it's been out just barely, the video's been out barely a week. And then of course we had what happened on Saturday happen. I want to get your initial thoughts. When you first heard about this attempted assassination attempt, and then, you know, a little bit later, we all see, you know, just a slight turn of the head is what saved I mean, that we could be in an entirely different world today had he not turned his head, the president, and looked at the Jumbotron for some like immigration graph, I think, that they put up there. That, you know, just moving his head like an inch saved his life. How did that hit you?
Well, it hit me that the whole world just got to see an act of God on live television. I mean, people that, I don't believe in God, your sky daddy, all the stuff that they say about it. Yeah, but they all just saw that. And they know in their spirit what that was. I would also say this, the same God, the Lord that turned his head at just that exact moment is also the one that allowed that whole situation to happen in the first place. You got to remember, he controls all of it. And so it's interesting that a near-death experience on Donald Trump, the impact that must have had on him personally, he doesn't look the same. Mm-hmm. I know we've all seen that. When he walked out at the RNC with the patch on his ear and all that, we're going to hear him speak tonight. He has a different look in his eye. And I happen to think that whole thing was orchestrated on purpose to be scary, but to let the man survive. And the boss reminding him, I got big things I need you to do, Donald.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
He quits the call.
I view it from both sides, that it wasn't just turning his head. It was the whole situation.
I think that's a smart way to look at it. Talking with our friend John Rich, and I agree with you on the way he looked, because I've known him for over 10 years. He used to come on the radio show all the time. I introduced him at CPAC some years ago. I have never seen him get emotional. I've never seen him get like watery eyes, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
He's always been very, very straight. And when he walked out on that was weird. It was weird in a very, not in a bad way. I don't know how to describe it, but you could tell, like you just said, you could tell. But when you have a near-death experience like that in the way that he did, how does that not change you? So it makes sense. I mean, it makes, and his kids too. I mean, I think Junior was crying when he came out.
Yeah. Well, near-death experiences in the Bible, there's been many of them. Saul, who later became Paul, Saul's whole job was to go out and murder Christians for the Roman Empire. He was going town to town, cutting their heads off, lighting them on fire. That's where Roman candle comes from. They'd light them on fire. And then on the road to Damascus, he has a near-death experience. And for 3 days, he's blinded. He can't. He's like, what just happened? And he realized that was God giving him one last shot. Mm. And when he came out of that, he changed his name to Paul and he wrote half the New Testament. So God has a history of doing this with people that he's got very big jobs for.
That's a great point. Talking with our friend John Rich, his new song, Revelation, which has been out now just for about a week. Fabulous new song that really gets into the heart of this. I want to switch gears and ask you real quick about, too. So J.D. Vance announced he accepted the vice presidential nomination. He's part of the ticket now. And I was thinking about this, you know, because you come from like Appalachia territory. I come from Ozark territory. You know, you come from the woods in Tennessee and all that. And I'm, you know, we're down by the, you know, down southern Missouri. And there, whenever people try to resonate, I think, a hard scrabble upbringing message with people who really lived it and they're not genuine, it shows, like the Scranton Joe stuff. I never took that seriously because I never believed the man. But when I see people like J.D. Vance and what people like him or don't like him, I don't think that you can dispute that he came up in a way that a lot of flyover nation can recognize. Tell me a little bit about how you think that's going to play out to a nation, because you got Scranton Joe, which I think is like a manufactured, hard scrabbled upbringing compared to J.D. Vance, who lived it and was very transparent about it.
Well, you know, when you grow up and your mother's a raging drug addict and your dad abandons you, and everybody in your neighborhood is messed up on something, and you have to claw your way out of that. I'm hoping that J.D. Vance has extreme empathy for people who are dealing with those situations in our country. And I hope he advises Trump very well on how to help those people, how to turn some of the things around in our country where those people can get a leg up finally. And, you know, I'll say this about J.D. Vance. The jury's out. Show us what you got, man. You know, I thought Pence was great until I watched him operate. And then I went, nope. And Pence is nowhere to be found now. He didn't even go to the convention because he would have been booed the second he walked in the door. So I hope JD follows up with what we all hope he's going to do. He's a Marine, former Marine. I like him. So I'm like, all right, thumbs up on that. Let's see what you got, buddy. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. A lot of people, you know, unless, and I don't say this as like a mean way to say it, but unless you're kind of a political nerd, you know, you really don't know a lot about his background. A lot of people around the country are meeting him for the first time. They met him for the first time last night. They got the debate scheduled for August 12th. How do you think that J.D. Vance versus Kamala Harris? What do you think of that one, John?
I think that's like a piece of birthday cake debating a steak knife is what I think. I mean, good luck. Maybe a chainsaw. That might be angel food cake versus chainsaw.
Oh, my gosh.
It will be so horrific. It wouldn't shock me if they don't do it, if she pulls out. I mean, she's the border czar.
Yeah.
Wait till JD starts drilling her on that. So you're the border czar, huh? I mean, there's nowhere to run. You know, the Frankenstein monster that the Democrats and the left have built has now turned around and is eating them. Yeah. They are being attacked by the monster they created, and deservedly so.
You think they're going to replace Joe Biden? Because he's at his Delaware beach house. They called a lid on today, so he's not talking to the press anymore today. He's going to be there for 4 days. Apparently, they're all pressuring him to get out of the room. It sounds to me like, I don't know, he may not be here Monday.
Well, if he gets out of the race, he should also get out of the White House. I mean, if you're not cognitively able to run for office, you're definitely not cognitively able to be in the office. I mean, come on. We've got China circling Taiwan. We've got the Middle East in flames. We've got Russia going, we got warships off the coast of Cuba. I mean, listen, man, if you're not going to run and you're too sick and weak to do it, then get the hell out of there. And if it's got to be laughing Kamala Harris, all right, come on in. And we'll see what happens.
You sound so excited.
To me, I would use this analogy. It would be like changing the captain out of the Titanic after it hit the iceberg and thinking now it's not going to sink.
That's the way, exactly. I think that's the perfect way to put it. Our good friend John Rich, you know, we're tough times, but we can take some refuge in the knowledge that the battle's already been won. But this video, Revelation, you can find it. It's out on YouTube. It's out everywhere. And make sure you go get some of that heavenly whiskey, Redneck Riviera. Oh, my goodness. The best whiskey out there. John Rich. And find Old Glory Bank, all of that. You do so much. You do so much, and we appreciate it. Congrats on the song. Appreciate
Thank
your time
you. I'll
today.
Give you one quick update. So the song right now on iTunes, today's the last day of the chart. So it's 6 days old today. Tomorrow, a new chart comes out. Revelation is number one in country of all downloads, and it's number two in the world of all genres. So this is kind of the last day. If you don't have it, go download it. It's like $1.29. You know, it's not a big deal. Go get it and see if we can flip it to number one. It'd be pretty cool. Regardless, it has had the impact. My interview with Tucker Carlson that dropped a couple of days ago now has 4.5 million views across the platforms. And the whole conversation was about Revelation, spiritual warfare, and all of that. So go check that out,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the best $1.29 that's ever been spent. So and it's a great song and a great, great, I mean, truth, a great story as well. I mean, it's the truth. John Rich, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks, Dana.
Of course. Our partners that help bring you free radio, Kel-Tec. American-made, Florida-based company. I love Kel-Tec, and you guys know I don't go anywhere not strapped. I love Kel-Tec. They make so many awesome things, and that's a great American success story. And with Kel-Tec, one of the ones that they really are wanting everybody to be aware of, which is why we've been talking about it for months, is the Sub-2K Gen 3. They make a lot of other stuff, but the Sub-2K Gen 3, this carbine folds right in half. It's like gun origami. It's light, it's foldable, it's effective. Now, the difference, there's several differences between the Gen 3 version and the previous iteration. So the Gen 3, you don't have to detach your optics anymore to fold in half. It just folds in half quick and easy, and just as quickly and easily deploys as well. You have an upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort. That lightened action adds for easy racking. You have an ambidextrous bolt hold open. All quality made right here in the U.S. of A. See everything that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself by hitting up their website, KelTecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So John Hinckley, the guy who shot former President Reagan, denounced violence in the wake of the attempted assassination on Trump. He literally wrote, "Violence is not the way to go. Give peace a chance." Of course, he quotes John Lennon. Oh my gosh. You know what? I was reading an article about him like a couple of years ago, and one of the a profiler who works with these kind of criminals was saying that he still has a lot of the behaviors and attributes of someone who is not reformed, of someone who has not gotten over. He has these obsessive qualities, and that's what fuels. So It's a very, I'm going to see if I can find this piece. I got it buried somewhere. All right. So Trump sneakers with photo from the assassination attempt on sale for $299 on the Trump site. If they're not making available T-shirts of that, where he had his fist in the air and making it like gangsta style, I don't want to talk. I need the T-shirt. You got to do the T-shirt. I mean, I've seen like different iterations that are printed badly on Etsy. I'm just saying you need like that kind of merch. The Trump said, what are those Trumps? I'm real particular about my shoes. Like, I'm real weird about my shoes. But, you know, people are going to eat that up. It's $299 on the site. Trump says he would let, now I don't know about this one. He says he would let Federal Chair Powell, Jerome Powell, finish his term if he, Trump, wins in November. Kane does not like that. You're not a fan of that one?
I'm not a fan of the Fed chair, but I think it's a smart move by Trump to say this.
Why?
Right now. Because
this is what I don't get.
Because there are people that the Fed are tied to, at least I believe this, that have these large hedge funds, these huge amounts of money, BlackRock and others that are involved. I think he's smart to not try and raise the red flag in that regard just yet.
Maybe. Okay. I will take that right now. I will take that. All right, moving on. We have the, oh, Fandango. That's a thing still. Wait, it is. Yeah, you people. I just don't go to the theater as much anymore because I'm real weird about that. The founder apparently jumped to his death from his luxury New York City hotel. He was identified last night by NYPD. Kane's like, immediately when Kane hears somebody jumped to their death, he doesn't believe it.
It's a luxury apartment. Who wants to jump from that?
Well, money can't buy you happiness. That's, I mean, true. It can help, but, you know, it doesn't buy you happiness.
Jumping
totally.
Doesn't do it either.
Well, yeah. So I don't know if they identified him. He, I don't know what building. I mean, it's one of those real nice swanky ones, you know, where you got like the penthouses and all that. I mean, they like literally were rolling him right out the front door there in those with the in the body bag. Ugh. And Elon Musk is pulling his companies from California because Gavin Newsom signed a new law where they can keep, if your minor children want to change their gender, they hide it from the parents. By the way, he just tweeted that contrary to reports, he's not speaking at the RNC.
And so it's all about treating people with dignity. And it's about making sure that, look, I mean, for example, look at the heat I'm getting because I named the Secretary of Defense, a black man. I named Ketanji Brown. I mean, because of the people I've named.
You mean Lloyd Austin? Ketanji Brown Jackson is a Supreme Court justice, you desiccated old turd. Yeah, one has a vagina, one doesn't. They're totally different.
No way to talk about Lloyd.
He's just like, what other black people doing? Oh, going through the Rolodex in his head, which is struggling. It's got one card and it's torn up. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. The bottom of this first hour. He's just sitting there. Was he trying to say that people were mad because Lloyd Austin's black? Because that's brand new to me.
Yes.
I mean, not that he's black, but that anybody's mad about it. Nope, he's completely incompetent. It has nothing to do. Is that the goal? Like, Democrats, just let's put in the most completely incompetent, irresponsible person we can into this position and make sure they're a minority. So that way, if we get any criticism, we can be like, you're racist. Is that the goal? Is that the strategy here?
You make it sound so simple and dumb, but that's exactly their goal.
It's exactly what they're doing.
Exactly what it is.
Totally what they're doing. That's exactly it. I'm just saying, you know, just seems a little transparent. You know, the black guy. Jeez. It's like watching a bad Dave Chappelle skit because it's real life, though. Good night.
Can you imagine me, the defense secretary, and watching the president not know your name in real time?
Yeah. He doesn't know who's running the military. He has no idea who's making these decisions. He doesn't know anything. And this was supposed to be one of the interviews that was supposed to redeem his FUBAR at the debate. It was supposed to be the thing that helped him, like, kind of recovered it. And then he did this. This is, yeah, play five. Let's get five queued up. Oh, you thought that one was bad. Go ahead. Go ahead and play this.
Make sure there's access to affordable internet, just like in Roosevelt's time. You know,
oh, Roosevelt's time with the internet. Yes, you know, the internet in Roosevelt's time. You know, because they had, you remember the internet during World War II? I don't know about you, but I remember my grandpa telling me about how he had learned on Twitter before Elon Musk bought it. Back in World War II, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and he was like, well, you know, I saw that tweeted, and then I, like, you know, snapped one of my friends and was like, I'm so enrolling, yo, going in the military, YOLO. and then he was out, right? You don't remember that? Your grandparents, you know, with their Snapchat accounts and the internet and Twitter and all that, right?
That rotary phone dial-up internet was really slow back then, but it still worked.
Mm. Yeah, Grandpa told me it took, like, forever to text someone with a rotary phone.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough.
And that Insta stories were still real clunky back then with the internet. Make sure the internet... Is he an alien? Because at this point, if he hasn't... If he doesn't have Parkinson's and a stroke and, I don't know, everything else, then he's an alien. There is no other, literally no other option here. He either has all these ailments or he's an alien. Because it's like he's a person in a meat suit that can't figure out how it works yet. He can't, it's like a fleshy mecha suit and he can't figure out how to do it right.
You may be closer than you think.
Gosh, that would be scary if, like his face fell off and it's just, like, C-3PO under there. That explains the whole beep, boop, boop with the arms. Dude, these interviews were supposed to help him. And the Democrats are now trying to push him out. He was on, Biden was on the phone call. Oh, my gosh, this one was bad. He was on this phone call with all these folks, and it did not go well. I sent out prep email. I know. He read a note. This was crazy. So he was, let me pull the story up. You got this in your, if you get the newsletter, which you should, honestly, you get so many good things over at Chapter and Verse, my Substack. You get so many good things over there. But he was handed a note during, so he had a phone call with Democratic House lawmakers. And apparently there were a couple of, I guess members of the press, and the reason I say this is because they were tweeting about it at the time. And while he was on the phone, okay, while he's on this call with Democrat lawmakers, and he was yelling at them, he yelled at one Democrat lawmaker about his son's Bronze Star. I don't know if you, he got nasty with a Bronze Star Democrat, and it was really bad. Daily Beast, New York Post, they said he was rambling. Jason Crow, who's a Democrat out of Colorado, he's a retired Army Ranger. He was 3 tours in the Middle East, and he was a Bronze Star recipient. And Biden yelled at him, and he said, quote, first of all, I think you're dead wrong. And he goes, he was saying that something like, you've never done anything with your Bronze Star like my son or something. And he was yelling, and then this call, they were saying he couldn't complete an answer. He yelled at Crow, and then another said, quote, he was rambling. He'd start an answer. He'd lose his train of thought. And then he would just say, whatever. He could not complete an answer. Another one said he was dismissive of concerns, unable and unprepared to present a campaign strategy. And that person's a sitting member of Congress. And it was a very tense call. And what's worse is he's handed a note while he's on this call. A staffer hands him a note. And it was a private note. And I'll be damned if he didn't read it in front of everybody. Biden. The note said, you are sounding defensive. Stay positive. And he read it. I am not making this up. It was the New York Times reported it, New York Post, everybody, Associated Press, everybody's reporting this.
End of quote. Repeat the line.
You are sounding defensive. Stay positive. Biden said it and didn't even know that it was like a note, that a private note for him, not for him to share. Guys. So I don't know. Chuck Schumer apparently privately told him he's got to go. Movement of Nancy Pelosi, if she comes out publicly and says something, I think he's got to. But they've already called a lid for the day. He's at his beach house for the next 4 days. And now everybody's watching him because they said if it happens, it'll be this weekend. And that's why they were trying to do that virtual election of him or nomination of him. At the DNC, and Democrats apparently were really upset about it. They didn't like that. This is a disaster. They were freaking out about it. Democrat delegates were just freaking out about all of this. I mean, I mean, listen to this audio soundbite 3. This is what he's telling BET. This is Biden trying to do outreach to the black voting bloc. Listen to this.
I'd like you to take a moment and tell black America what you want them to know. Why should they turn out for you?
Because they know where my heart is. They know where my head is. And by the way, if you notice, whether it's young blacks or young whites or white Hispanics or young Asian Americans, they've never focused until after Labor Day. I mean, the idea they're focusing intently on the election right now is not there.
Wow.
And by the way, if you take a look at presidents who have...
Black people don't pay attention until after Labor Day, apparently. You know, I don't know. Good grief. That was supposed to, like, help him because he's hemorrhaging support amongst the black community. Kane's just... You okay?
How is it not... How are we still doing this? It's like we're just playing along? Like, what are we doing?
It's a million-dollar question here. Million-dollar question. I don't know.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.